Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It has been a rather uncomfortable 48 hours or so for the Celtics. We'll talk about that. Welcome in the beginning of another hour here on WEI, the midnight hour, and the very difficult situation that the Celtics have been in. We'll get back to the Patriots in a little bit. It would help if the Patriots would actually make some moves. That would help the conversation. But the Celtics, who are making moves, they're adding players to the injury list. That's what they're doing. Very inconvenient. Timing matters, right? I guess it could be worse. It could be the beginning of the playoffs. But the last couple of days have not been kind to the Celtics. And the theory has always been that the reason you play 82 games in the NBA is that this is what I was taught, that it's you make a lot of money. The owners make a lot of money. They have 41 home games, 41 road games. It's also supposed to be a war of attrition. And typically that has not been the case because players and coaches have been able to manipulate the schedule. They get extra rest in the last handful of years. It was really enhanced by Greg Popovich. Other teams had done it before. But in San Antonio, they mastered it where players would just take extra time off. And so they would jerry-rig the schedule, and they wouldn't have as many injuries during the course of the season. It seems like they've gone a little bit away from that. There's still players missing a bunch of games, but it's been a little different this year. But it appears the Celtics are going to have to try and catch the Toronto Raptors and win the Eastern Conference with an incomplete roster, because the pollution, the poison of injury has overtaken a big chunk of the current Celtic roster. And if you've not been keeping track of this, maybe you're all in on the Patriots or you're locked in on Red Sox spring training, whatever you're doing. I don't know what you do. No idea what you do. But you have not been paying attention here. Where do we begin here? Daniel Tice, he is out. He gone. He's out for the rest of the season. He's got a torn meniscus in his left knee. So it's a pretty good addition that the Celtics went out in free agency and said, we have a fair amount of size. We have a fair amount of size, but you can never have too much. So why don't we go out and look to, enhance the back part of our roster just in case. Just in case. And look at that, Greg Monroe available, ready to go. So they have Greg Monroe there. So that's not a tremendous, devastating situation, because Greg Monroe is more than capable of providing a positive contribution with Daniel Tice gone for the rest of the year. So fine. Now, what about Marcus Smart? What about Marcus Smart? This is a bigger deal, right? This is a bigger deal. He was injured in the game against the Pacers. He was diving for a loose ball. It was like 9 minutes or so to go in the fourth quarter, and he has apparently damaged ligaments. He's damaged. Now, how bad it is it a sprain? Is it a tear? There were some tests that were done on Monday morning, and supposedly they're seeking a second opinion. Danny Ainge telling the media that the team will not know for a couple of days whether or not Smart will be able to come back and play. He claims he's completely in the dark on this, Danny Ainge, and that he doesn't know whether or not Marcus Smart is going to need surgery. So it's unclear whether or not they'll get Smart back at some point during the season. It certainly sounds, reading the tea leaves here, that the Celtics are doing everything they can to at least get him part of the time, right? Like maybe he'll sit out for a couple of weeks, they'll put a brace on it, and try to get him like a chameleon to adjust to his new situation with his hand. Now, if you're playing and your hand is compromised, I believe that is a problem. I believe you will not be as effective. I believe that will be a disaster. But they're going to at least try to get Marcus Smart out there playing and get him in the lineup in one way or another. So I wanted to talk about all this. You also have Kyrie Irving, who's going to miss several more regular season games. They're going to, for precautionary reasons, because of that left knee, the issue with the left knee, they're not going to play him as much. So keep an eye on that. And you've got Al Horford, who was sick. What happened there? Jaylen Brown still getting back from the concussion. So there's a whole lot of stuff, going on injury-wise with the Celtics. And you look at the Eastern Conference standings, and you look around, you're like, there's only a couple weeks to go in the regular season. It's mid-March almost. The regular season goes till mid-April. And so you're like, is this realistic? Mathematically, it's very realistic that the Celtics can catch the Toronto Raptors. I mean, you don't have to be a math genius. They're only 3.5 games back, 4 back in the loss column of Toronto. So they're going to need the Raptors to suck at a time they have not sucked. The Raptors have been playing great. They've won 8 in a row at this moment. So the question here is, what is your level of concern over what has become a pandemic of Celtic injuries? Now, my viewpoint on this, you've got the zombie phase, handle with care, and you've got the fall guy. You've got all those things. We'll bind these things together. Now, first of all, mentioned the loss of Daniel Theis, which takes away from the bench, but the Celtics have enough depth with Greg Monroe, and he's going to have to rise up there. And in those minutes that Theis had, Monroe's going to have to feel that. That's not like a devastating situation. Marcus Smart being out is a bigger deal. Now, I'm not buying into the hype. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when he got hurt. Smart was up to some shenanigans in a hotel room. And remember, he missed a couple weeks before the All-Star break, and the Celtics didn't play very well. They didn't play well on defense. And all of that was directed at Marcus Smart, that he was out of the lineup. They didn't play well. He came back, and the Celtics played much better. This is clearly some adversity. The Celtics, can they play good basketball without Marcus Smart for an extended time? Yes. Are they going to do it? That's the open question. Right? There's definitely some lingering effects here. And right now, I would expect for the next couple of games anyway, that zombie phase for the Celtics as they try to get the injured players back and adjust on the fly. Short term, Terry Rozier is going to have to be the man consistently. And that's been a problem. He's been good on certain nights, but he has not been regularly the guy who's been able to contribute. And then Shane Larkin's going to have to play more. Those are the two guys, obviously, that are going to have to do more. And then Jaylen Brown and Al Horford, at some point, you figure they're going to be back in the next. Al Horford could be back in the next game, and Jaylen Brown is not going to be out that long after falling on his head in Minnesota. That was brutal. Now, secondly, the second part of this, it is mostly temporary misfortune. Ultimately, the key for the Celtics is to get that bum knee of Kyrie Irving, that bulky bum knee of Kyrie Irving, right by the time the playoffs come back. And there's a warning label on the left knee. If you go close enough, it's very small. You can't see it unless you're right up in Kyrie Irving's knee. But it says on there, handle with care. You take Kyrie Irving out of the lineup for the playoffs, and the Celtics are going to be cannon fodder. They are capable of losing to anyone. Right now, they would play the 2-7 matchup would be the Celtics against the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat would beat the Celtics without Kyrie Irving. So the Heat would win. The Celtics would be out of the playoffs in the first round under that scenario if he's unable to go. Everything goes through Kyrie Irving at the end of games. Playoff games are close, so extra cautious, whatever term you want to use to describe the Celtics' position on this, fine. And that likely means the Celtics have zero chance now of winning the Eastern Conference. And they're pretty much locked into the number two. They can play 500 basketball the rest of the regular season. And, there's only, 14 games or so to go, I think, something like that. And so they could play 500 basketball. They're 7 games ahead of the Indiana Pacers. So they don't have to worry about that. It's a question of whether or not the Celtics are going to catch the Toronto Raptors for the number one spot in the Eastern Conference. So they're going to have to go through Toronto if they're going to win the Eastern Conference in the postseason. Now, the final thing, and we'll take some phone calls on this, all of these injuries, all these players that are out, some a bigger deal than others, but this gives the Celtics a fall guy should they stub their toe in the playoffs, because all these players are out going into the postseason with Kyrie Irving, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown. If you have those guys and Jason Tatum relatively healthy, the Celtics should get to the Eastern Conference Finals with just those four core guys on the court a good chunk of time. Irving, Horford, Brown, and Tatum. The Celtics should get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Brad Stevens is going to have to find whatever that magic potion happens to be to figure things out here the last couple of weeks of the regular season. Do they still have the medicine men that go around? I don't think they have that. So they're on their own in that department. Without Kyrie Irving in the lineup, though, the Celtics are going, it's going to be a humiliation, mortification situation for the Celtics. All right, we'll take your phone calls on that. If you would like to be part, the number is 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. Now, one of the stories of tonight, we kicked it around earlier, was Tom Brady, who is going around promoting Tom versus Time. He popped up on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, a guest on that show Monday night, and a clip of it went out. We played it earlier, and it was Tom Brady chugging a beer. That was the skit. Stephen Colbert and Tom Brady. I don't know if we have that. Maybe we should play that again. Do we have that, Producer Chris? Can we find that and play that clip of Tom Brady doing his thing? Because
we got it.
All right, this is what happened. They're sitting at the set there in New York. They're doing their thing, and Tom Brady, who's the legendary stories from back in the day, when he was legend, you know, known for this kind of thing. Here's how the conversation went down.
I'd say cheeseburger, pizza, beer, mm-hmm. things like that.
Dude, you don't drink beer?
Rarely. Damn. I was pretty good beer chugger back in the day.
You were a good beer chugger?
Yeah.
Do you want to chug a beer? I'm okay. Do you want to do this? Again, this is for
the
kids.
Are we competing or are we chugging?
I don't know if you're a competitive guy.
Let's try.
Yeah. Somebody time it. Okay. How do we start this? Okay, so we just click and go. All right. Okay.
Can we spill?
We can spill.
All right. Ready? I left a little. That was good.
That was.
That was really good.
Oh, well, listen, that's all we have time for, Tom.
All right, so that was the same. Oh, my God, the chuckles of late night television. It never gets old. Now, we've done our own investigation here, and I realize that it's a radio show. You can't see this, but the executive producer, the great Chris Scheim, has watched this several times, Zapruder film style, and we believe there's a credibility issue with this particular skit on Stephen Colbert. Now, what is your investigation uncovered, Producer Chris? What have you seen here?
After thorough diving into this film, I've taken it frame by frame. We've noticed a couple things. One, most importantly, when you chug a beer, as an aficionado like myself would know, you tend to get a little gassy after finishing the beer, and you can tell Colbert gets a little gassy, has to take a moment, but Brady is just clean cut. He's ready to go for the next segment.
Yeah, so the Brady, that leads us to believe that might have been, not might have, we seemingly are convinced here. We've explored this and broken it down that there was some kind of other drink that Brady had, that was not the beer. And also, because of our methodical analysis here, Chris, you notice it's like 9 or 10 seconds into the clip. Tom Brady is sitting there watching Stephen Colbert. Colbert pulls the drinks up. He puts them on the desk. And did you notice, Chris, the switch? Like, Colbert looks offset, and then he changes the position of the drinks.
Yep, he it must have been someone must have chimed in his ear, because as soon as he pulls them up onto the table, he's like, oh boy, I need to switch these. Switches them as he's looking directly off stage.
Yeah, which again adds to our theory here. It's another element to, as we analyze this, that leads us to believe that the beers were in the drinks, not the beers, because they weren't both beers. They look different also. There's clearly a difference. Now, I know that not all beer looks the same, right? You can have different, depending on if you like a dark or a light brew. I understand that. But it looked, to the naked eye watching on the clip, it appeared that it was some kind of other, whether it was non-alcoholic. I'm going with apple juice. But it definitely, it was not the same drink. We know that 100%. 100%. So if you saw that, and I know it was broadcast a little while ago on actual television, but if you've seen the clip online, you can tell us what you think about that. Are you buying what we're selling here? Again, Zapruder film style coverage. You will not get this anywhere else. Frame by frame breakdown from producer Chris. He has done a thorough review, and he has come to the conclusion, and I back up his work with the microscope there, that there were some shenanigans going on. Absolute shenanigans. 617-779-7937. If you would like to take part, you can be part of the radio show. And we press on here. We'll take some phone calls. And also, a case of damaged goods. Damaged goods. We'll get to that, and we'll do it next. Now, get back to the calls in a moment. Damaged goods also. We will get to that as well. Why don't we go to the phones, though, first? And let's see. Who should we talk to? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's say hello to Ethan in East Longmeadow. What's going on, Ethan? You're on WEI.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, I just wanted to address the Patriots defensive back situation. What do you guys think they should go out for? Would you rather see him go for agents or something draft?
Well, I would rather see a free agent. I like the veteran player, and it doesn't seem like they're going to go that direction, though, considering that most of the big-name free agents or the players that have changed teams have already changed teams.
Right.
So that doesn't seem like that's going to happen. If they sign a veteran, it's not going to be somebody you've heard much of.
What do you think about Joyner from Los Angeles?
What's that?
Joyner, the cornerback from Los Angeles. He's a free agent now.
He can get him. I'm assuming he's going to get a fair amount of money. The Patriots aren't going to pay that. Thanks for the phone call, by the way. I don't know. Is he listening to the radio? What's going on? I don't know. I have no idea. But we know Malcolm Butler is going to sign probably by the end of the week, right? Wouldn't you think Malcolm Butler is going to sign? He's going to be one of the first guys to sign Wednesday or Thursday, that he'll have a new team by the weekend. And so he'll be gone, and then you're going to have to replace that position. We talked earlier about some of the possibilities for the Patriots, and it's Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, that's one, Aaron Coleman. But all these guys, it comes down to how much money the Patriots have allotted for the secondary. And it doesn't seem like there's all that much. Listen, I get it. I understand. If you look at the needs for the Patriots going into next year, defensive tackle, they've already made one move in that area. They picked up Danny Shelton from Cleveland. Whether or not he can play, who knows? They're counting on him playing and actually playing well. And then you got to get help at linebacker, defensive end. I mean, the whole front seven of the Patriots defense needs to upgrade. And the offensive line needs to get a little bit better, and the secondary. I mean, those are the areas initially that the Patriots are going to have to address here. Now, I mentioned damaged goods, and that would be one of the remaining free agents in baseball that has changed teams. Remember Neil Walker? He played with the Mets and the Pirates, mostly second baseman, good player, made some. He was like an all-star. I believe he was an all-star back in the day. Well, Neil Walker has signed with the Yankees. He gets a one-year contract. He's 32 years old. He's going to get a one-year contract for $5 million. And the word is that was the only team that made him an offer. There's one team in baseball that was interested in Neil Walker. That's it. I guess he's never been an all-star. But he He had been a pretty productive player with the Pirates and the Mets, briefly with the Mets, and now he is he's found his way to the Yankees until he gets hurt. He's been injured a ton the last couple of years. He can't stay on the field. So that would explain why teams were not lining up to sign Neil Walker to a massive contract. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to, let's see here. Damon is next here on WEEI in Utah, listening to the radio. What's going on, Damon?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to say that I have a problem with what John Henry said and Dave Dombrowski. They've been saying that they want to win now, but their actions have been differently, said differently. They haven't, I mean, this offseason's been so strange that they could have signed a pitcher, a starting pitcher, and a reliever for a fraction of the price of what they would normally get. And I would think that they would go out and get, like, I mean, all there is what, Alex Cobb still out there? Still, you can go get him. Because we have everyone, our starting pitching is going down. You know, everyone's, you know.
Damon, you're really upset by this, Damon. You're really annoyed.
I am. Yeah. I am, because John Henry and Dave Dombrowski keep saying that, oh, we want to win now, we want to win now, but their actions say differently. And I don't get it, man, you know?
Well, they're not alone, though. There's a bunch of teams in baseball. Thanks for the call, Damien. There's a bunch of teams that are not uber aggressive when it comes to the free agent, the free agent market. Is Alex Cobb really going to be the difference between the Red Sox winning the American League pennant or not winning the American League pennant? I mean, the players that are available now, who excites you? Ubaldo Jimenez. You can sign Ubaldo Jimenez. I don't believe Matt Garza has signed a contract. It's not. These are all fringe, back of the rotation starting pitchers. Clay Buchholz. You want to bring Clay Buchholz back to the Red Sox? You can get Clay Buchholz. He's available. And sign him to a contract. Let's say hello to Anthony, who's next up on WEEI. What's going on, Anthony?
Benny, did you get that picture of the camel I sent you out in Arizona?
Yes, thank you for sending me camel pictures. I appreciate that.
Camel toe, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea. That's a Doc Mike reference.
Was Blair taking a trip out in Utah with that last call? What's up with that guy?
That was Blair's cousin. That was actually Blair's cousin.
How
happens
many
to live.
Low percentage beers did that guy drink before he called in?
Listen, I like the fact that he was very upset, Anthony, at the Red Sox lack of. He wants Alex Cobb. The man is demanding Alex Cobb.
The most obscure. It was just so random. I was having a hard time understanding. I was like, I totally thought that he was BSing you at first. I was waiting for it, but then it never paid off. The guy was totally serious about his argument. It's pretty insane, you know. I couldn't believe what I was hearing out there, man.
That sounds like something that would happen at like 3 or 4 in the morning. Nah, this is still. It's almost 1 in the morning. It's a little early, but still.
He's mountain time. He's not even anything crazy. I've been to Utah, so there's nothing to do, you know.
Are you with camels right now? Do I need to let you go hang out with your camels? Is that what you need to do?
No, we came back from Arizona. We were just driving down the street and randomly saw a camel in some guy's backyard. Pulled over, and that thing started getting a little crazy. And I said, hey, that thing's going to spit on you kids if you keep messing with it. And they were saying, are you serious? Are you serious? I said, hey, I'm not going to sit around and find out. But luckily, no kids got spit on. Lauren didn't get spit on. Everything was fine. And
that's
we made
great.
It back.
I'm glad. No one was harmed by the camel. That's
camels harmed in the making of that photo.
That's great. All right, Anthony. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
There he goes. So just for the record, I want you to know that the last two calls we've had were my guy in Utah desperately trying to get the Red Sox, Damien, to sign Alex Cobb, very upset at John Henry in the front office. And now my guy, Anthony, breaking down a camel. That's where we're at. That's the spot that we're at. So if you would like to be different than that, here's your opportunity. 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. You can be part of the festivities. And if you look ahead, if you project ahead to the tournament. Now, I don't do tournament radio per se, because that's usually lazy, cliche-filled gibberish. But there is a number 16 seed that has a legitimate chance of pulling a first-round upset. I will reveal that number 16 seed. We will, and we press on here. On and on we go, further and further into the night. And it is time to break down the tournament. Now, not the NCAA tournament, because anyone can do that. Now, not around these parts, but the many of the radio shows this week, it's who do you think is going to pull an upset? And a bunch of guys call up and they give picks out. It's just terrible radio. It is a curse. It is a blight on more than the national radio shows that take place this week. And I got to dabble in that on my overnight show. And I tried last night on the show. I was trying to find an NIT pool. I thought it would be fun to pick the field for the National Invitation Tournament, and I couldn't find it. It's thought of so little that even on the website that's run by the NCAA, the operated website for the NIT, they don't even have a bracket challenge for the NIT. I bring that up because something called the Spun, which I guess it's an independent sports blog, they have put together their own bracket, which does not involve college basketball. It's an independent, social media-focused sports website, and it is, I would imagine, going to be a topic. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a topic on the morning show, because they have put together their 64 most annoying people in sports media, the 2018 edition. It's a who's who of annoyance in the sports media landscape. Now, the number one seeds in this, it's a bracket with the 64, you've got the number one seed, Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless. Have you seen this? Jameel Hill, Britt McHenry, who made a cameo on the Kirk and Callahan show, also on here. The number two seeds, you've got Jim Rome. How about Jim Rome, still a number two seed after all these years? Darren Revelle, Colin Cowherd, and Clay Travis, a couple guys that work with me at Fox, are high on the list of annoyances. Now, the reason I bring this up in part is because I love the concept. I think it's a wonderful concept. And one of the very proud WEI personalities is part of this, a number 16 seed from the Kirk and Callahan show. Kirk Minahan is a number 16 seed in this 64 most annoying people in sports media. That is awesome. It's great. Minahan's matchup in the first round of this, you've got Kirk Minahan versus Britt McHenry. That would be the matchup. Well, it is the matchup. And you can actually go on their website and vote. Now, judging on the Minifans and my interaction with the Minifans, I would say that if Kirk Minahan gives his blessing, there is no chance that Britt McHenry can beat Kirk Minahan. If the Minifans get behind Kirk, that is over. That is going to be a 16 seed beating a number one seed. The other 16 seeds in this dopey, most annoying people in sports media bracket, you have Sage Steele versus Skip Bayless. I'll give the edge to Skip Bayless. That won't even be close. Jason McIntyre and Stephen A. Smith, that's a 16-1 matchup. And you have Jim Nance versus Jameel Hill. Nance has no chance. No chance at all. Now, the 8-9 matchups in this are pretty good. You've got Kornheiser versus Wilbon. That's a solid one. What else do you have? The 8-9 matchup. You've got Mel Kiper versus Todd McShay. See what they've done there? David Portnoy versus Sam Ponder. That's a solid matchup on many, many levels there. That's a solid matchup. And then you've got Stu Gatz versus Pablo Torre in the other 8-9 matchup. I don't see any overnight talk show hosts on here. I'm devastated. I'm devastated. There's no overnight representation there. It's a bad job by them. And some of these people, like, I don't... I have a fringe. They're barely around. Like, what's Keith Olbermann doing? What's he up to these days? Is he doing stuff? I do not know. I do not know. All right, so check that out. Good luck to Kirk Minahan as he tries to upset Britt McHenry. They work together. Was it last week they were hanging out together there at the WEI studios? Well, bunker down, be safe with the snow and all that. Chris Scheim, great job investigating not only the Tom Brady, was it beer, was it not beer, but also doing a wonderful job producing this fine radio show. I'm here the next couple of nights as well, so check it out. And weather be damned, we will be here yapping away all night long into the late night hours on WEEI. Have a great night. Keep it locked right here. Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.